All right, so do I look appropriate today? My wife's out of town. It's so funny because when your mate goes out of town, isn't it weird? You feel discombobulated. I get up this morning, I almost overslept, and I look at that and I think, man, did I dress right? I'm so used to her telling me, take that back off and put that on, you know, like. All right, if you remember from last week, we talked about having no biblical vision or goal for our this present time to the future, then what's left but a serious desire and we think need to stupidly attempt to meet our own needs, right? Because we don't know. And when the feeling of temptation, I think, is actually the call of God in our life to have relationship with Him, and we mistake that to be a call to get something new, a call to do something that maybe we shouldn't, whatever it may be. So let's read our scriptures together this morning in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. I'll read the white, you read the yellow. For they themselves declare to us what manner of entry we had to you. Okay, let's start. Okay, all right. Hey, come on, you guys. Your wives and husbands are here. I can be discombobulated today, and it's okay, right? I have permission. Okay, let's do it again. This is God's word, too. You have to do it actually out loud. All right, okay. For they themselves declare concerning us and how you turn from God or to God from idols and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, there is unbelievable power in that scripture that we could easily read over and think, well, he's just still kind of doing the introduction, and so he's saying some pretty things. No, that's not it. Last week I gave the definition for wait there out of the Bible, and it means to remain in a place or state with expectancy concerning a future event. So I want to remember why we wait and what God is pointing at when he says, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. It's going to take a couple weeks on that. So that's the event that Paul tells Titus when he says in Titus 2:13, that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, now I don't know how you feel about that, but every time I think about that, I think, man, it's overwhelming. In fact, I was talking to one of our people, and I said, you know, I don't need another day on this earth. You know what I'm saying? Boy, when he comes and the trumpet blows and we go up in a twinkling of an eye, that's going to be unbelievable, and that's what we're waiting for, folks. Now, you know, when I accepted Christ down in California and moved back to Seattle, I moved back to stay with my parents for about 9 months, and I was going on to Grace Bible College, and during that 9 months, I went to the singles group, and there were two ladies in the singles group, and I said, where's the singles group? And they said, we're it. And so I said, well, this is not going to do. And we started gathering a bunch of singles together. And one particular man named Ron Groth, he was, we really had a good friendship. And so my parents had this house that overlooked Puget Sound. Now, you have to understand that's the ocean that comes inside and all the way down to Tacoma and Olympia, Washington. Beautiful water, and they had 180-degree view with this big window, a set of windows. You could just sit on the couch and look out and watch the ships go by and that kind of thing. And so I invited Ron over because my parents were going to be gone, and Ron and I did a lot of praying together. And so we were talking, and we had been talking about the rapture and Christ coming back, and so we were on the couch and we were praying with, you know, praying with your eyes open. That, you know, that's, you can do that. Yeah, it's okay. So we were praying with our eyes open, and all of a sudden these shafts of light come down. Now, you have to understand, we've been thinking about the rapture and talking about it together, right? So we started jumping up. The rapture's here, not thinking about it. It's a twinkling of an eye, right? And so we're both jumping up and down and high-fiving and all that kind of thing. And it's the rapture. It's the rapture. It's here. We don't have to wait anymore. And so we found out it was just the northern lights. Just. The northern lights usually didn't come that far down, but that particular night they did. And all of a sudden these shafts just hit the water. And it really made us think, you know, I never knew how I would feel about that, but I'll tell you, we were jumping up and down. It was something. Turn to Romans 8, if you will. We're just going to read one verse, and if actually one half of a verse, it will be up here if you don't have your Bibles. But it's talking about our desire within us to have our bodies changed and to be with Christ and those things that get us caught up into doing the wrong things because we don't understand what it is. And so it encompasses our faith while we wait for his Son from heaven. And it's our hope, our expectation as Christians. It is the point as we wait that is we long for it in our lives. And it reads like this, 23b of Romans 8. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our what? Yeah. See, when we trust Christ, we become a whole new creation in our soul and our spirit, but our body travels along, doesn't it? And our body's weak, and we keep wanting to fill it with stuff that maybe we shouldn't be filling it with, or maybe it looks great, but it takes over, because really what it is we want this to change, amen? You don't understand that? Okay, yeah. We want this to work right, and it's not working right, and it's not going to work right, because God kept us here to do his work until one day we're gone, either in the grave or in the sky. And, you know, I just want to say this, that I think I told you that I went over to a biker's house a couple weeks ago, a couple Saturdays ago. Do you remember that? Led him to Christ, and I think his wife to Christ, too. She didn't tell me that, but I could see the change in her. Well, he passed away on the following Thursday. And what was really neat was yesterday I went up to the American Legion, Fort Lupton, and they had me do the funeral. And so I gave the funeral. She said, I want you to put in that religion part that you talked to us about. Isn't that cute? So I did. So we did the service and that kind of thing. And then we had a bunch of people share. And then I got back up and I said, you know, here's the thing. Both of them wanted me to share this with you, what happened in those moments that we spent time together. And man, it was a full-blown gospel message. It was really, man, I could see the place got quiet. I love that when it's quiet, you know, like that, because you know they're listening. And so I said, this is what he prayed with me, and you can pray along with me. And so I gave the prayer of salvation and watched those people. And as I did it, I had my eyes open. They had their eyes closed. And, man, I could see, a lot of people shook my hand afterwards. And I thought, isn't that a great, what a witness for that to happen. And it turned into a place in the Foreign Legion where they're all drinking beer and having fun, you know, and that kind of thing. And all these Harley riders and that kind of thing. And boy, it was great. Okay. So let me ask you the question so far. What are we waiting for? Our new body, right? Not susceptible to every temptation, not susceptible to the trickery of the evil one, because he's going to be tied up and bound up and thrown in the pit. We eagerly wait for the moment when Christ redeems, buys back our body. God has a high regard for the body. He thinks it's pretty slick what we did, and I think it's pretty slick, don't you? You know, that particular day, we're going to cash in for the old body, the corruptible body into an incorruptible body. And you remember, just if you don't know what it's going to be like, do you remember that Jesus came to the disciples and walked through the door? Closed? Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm going to want to do that. I think I'll walk back and forth through a closed door about 5 or 6 times just to see how it feels, you know. But this morning, as we sit and kind of meditate on this, on his return, let's dream a bit. Let's just dream about it. I mean, that's what God gave us an imagination for, so that we could dream our faith. It's not just having faith, okay, I believe, but an imagination gives us the ability to kind of put it together in our mind. And what a great day that's going to be, because Paul says that our very soul cries out in groans like a mourner at a funeral for that day, that moment when that great day comes. And what a day it'll be when our faith is realized. And it won't be Northern Lights. It won't be because we find somebody in the house and get freaked out that maybe we missed it. You know, I recall quite a few years back, I'd been teaching on the rapture in a Bible study, and a lady that was in my Bible study called, and she was totally upset. And she said, "Steve, is that you? Is that you?" And I said, "Yeah, it's me. Why?" And she said, "Well, nobody's around, and I thought the rapture happened, so I called you because I knew you go in the rapture for sure." She was studying the rapture, and she was getting it. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the scripture says. Do you know what a twinkling in an eye is? Just think about that. In your imagination, that little twinkle, boom, you're gone. Can you imagine what a disrupted world this is going to be when we all jet? It's going to be something else. And it'll be the real thing. And as we're swept off the earth, I want to yell like Christ did on the cross, if I can remember, okay, because it could be pretty exciting. It is finished, right? Ah, we're done. We're done with this insufficient life. It's over, and we get to taste a real love. No longer thinking I can find happiness outside of Christ by trying to prove myself by jobs or friends or money or anything else that I mistakenly think or you mistakenly think you need to do. Isn't this something? You know it's there when somebody says to you, "Well, I don't think God cares if you're just a janitor and you don't do anything in this life, accomplish any of this thing in life except maybe a little witness or something." You think, "Well, I got to do more than that, right? I got to be somebody bigger than that." Well, think of this for a minute with me. No more incredibly foolish, lying leaders. Won't that be great? Chuck Swindoll won't be able to out-preach me. I get to hug Mom and Dad. We will finally have reasonable theology. We'll know his Bible. All the wrongs will be made right. I won't have to use a car anymore. And when I think about that, I think of Britain now, on the left or on the right hand side driving. I finally figured out if I made the U-turn the opposite way of what I do here, I get in the right lane. Won't be any long trips in the universe. They'll be pretty instantaneous. I can jog and my knees won't swell. We lose the frustration of our friend, Mr. Futility. Gosh. I mean, I don't know if you get the ramification of that. All because your faith and my faith become reality. It's an expectation. Now think about this for a minute. The patriarchs in the Old Testament lived with faith. You remember Abraham's faith and then Isaac's faith and then Jacob's faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 says, "And these all died in faith, not having received the promises." They were promised a city. "But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And they did live like it, didn't they? Man, they saw something maybe we're not seeing. I think we need to confess this morning that we too are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And it isn't exactly what we want to be, but we sure want to be that, don't we? In our hearts of hearts, our soul and spirit cry out, follow God, do what God says, and our body's going, no, wait. It's Christ that we love and we need this morning. So you better really enjoy your aches and pains now, because they're going away. You better enjoy the flu when you have it laying in bed, because you're not going to get that any longer. You better enjoy that back that you keep thinking you need surgery for, because that's all going to be healed up. And you better enjoy getting that old age with the wrinkles and all that kind of stuff coming on, and you think, oh my gosh, it's not getting any better than this, right? Because you're going to look good, right? Now, I can prove that. When Jesus rose again from the dead, he walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't know who he was the whole walk till he revealed it to them. Because he looked good. I can't wait to see my faith come to reality. How about you? Are you waiting too? Is that worth waiting for? Can you feel yourself groan right now at this point inside? You kind of feel that same groan of, yes, that's what I want. I want that new body. I want to be with Christ. I want to let go of all this stuff. And it brings us back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, when it said, and you died. And you remember that was right at the point of our salvation. You died, and your life is hidden. And listen to this. The word hidden there means and was and still is at the present, hidden with Christ in God. For Christ, who is our light, or who is our life, appear. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. If you have your Bibles, I want you to be looking at this. We'll have it up here. But I want you to look at this, because you may even want to make a few markers in it. I want to explain what Christ's appearing is, because we call this the rapture. Now, you can't find the word rapture in the Bible, but then you can't find the word Bible in the Bible, okay? It's just a name for that event where we're going to be carried up, and it's 1 Corinthians 15 says it's a mystery. Well, the second coming was not a mystery. That was talked about all the way through. This is a special event for the body of Christ. And I want to explain that appearing, and when we appear with him in glory. Now listen to this, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those things, or concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, Paul uses falling asleep and dead in this passage as two different things. Dead, he's talking about the body. Falling asleep, he's talking about the soul and spirit. Okay? He couldn't say dead, 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 or we'd be totally messed up to this point today. Okay? But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We do have hope, don't we? It was really fun in that memorial service yesterday, because I realized that the gentleman's wife was there, and I could see the hope all through her face that we are going to spend eternity together. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we live a good life, and we don't do too many major sins. Oh, I added that, didn't I? Okay. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. 16. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That means the dead bodies will rise first. And I know I've said this before, and you've probably heard it too many times, but I hope I'm down at Fort Logan trying to bury somebody when the rapture takes place and these bodies shoot out of those graves. You know, and the dirt goes up 60, 70 feet as they head for the sky. I just think that would be cool. Lord, please. Okay. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now go to the next slide, will you? I just put a simple drawing together so you can kind of understand, okay? So Christ comes in the cloud with these archangels, and they scream. Can you imagine on the earth? I don't know if we'll be the only ones that hear the scream. And it is my particular heresy, okay, thought that I think he's going to call you by name. I really do. You know, when I looked at Acts chapter 2 and everybody heard in their own language, do you remember that when they talked, even though they were saying a single thing, everybody heard in their own language? Well, I think when that archangel yelled, you'll hear your name. And that's going to be a ridiculously great day, isn't it? And so he comes in the clouds. I didn't put the archangels in there. The archangels come with him. And then it says he's going to bring those who sleep in Jesus. So I have those little people up there. Those are the souls in the spirit. That's you if you've already died. If not, then you'll be in the other class. And they've been waiting for their body. And then all of a sudden, out of the grave rises the bodies. Now, I don't know how God collects all those molecules together, but he put them all together for us, so don't think it's going to be a problem for him, huh? And then they're going to rise up, and as they rise up, then he calls us, no matter where we are, what we're doing, off we go. Now, I want you to think about this, because this is going to be fun for you. Think what a disruption that'll be in the world. Boy, they're going to need a one-world government with a Christ, Antichrist, to keep going, right? Man, everything pulls apart. You can't get food. You can't get gas. Everything's a mess, especially in this country. It's going to be interesting, but that's what happens. Okay. So let's see. I got to figure out where I am. Oh, okay. There we go. All right. I read the scripture already. All right. I got a little carried away there. Okay. So when Christ comes, we're going to meet him. Or you're going to die, and we're going to meet him then, and you're going to come back with him to collect your body, that incorruptible body. Now I want to go over to 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and just read that for a second. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, Paul would not have called it a mystery if it was the second coming. The second coming is after the tribulation when he comes down and sets foot on the Mount of Olives. This is before the tribulation. And he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Do you realize that there's a sting in death? We have faith, but when it gets right down to it, it's a little scary, isn't it? And so there's that sting because we don't know. We, by faith, accept that, and we know it's a reality and an expectation, but when we cross over, we'll know. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? Because we aren't going to hell. Right? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Like I said, I can't wait for my faith to become reality. Are you waiting? Is this what you're waiting for? Are you waiting for something else? Can you feel yourself groan? Boy, when we groan, we want to cover that up so bad. Go ahead and groan. This isn't it. You know, as I listen to the people at the funeral talk, they're saying, well, some things have gone bad in my life, and I know they'll all straighten out and everything will be fine. Oh, no, they won't. Because it's not about this life, my friends. You and I know that. Amen. I want to finish with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. And if the worship team will come on back up, we're going to do communion today, have the Lord's Supper. Now, faith is the substance, or the assurance is what it means, of things hoped for, and the evidence, the proof, the convincing, the rebuking, the reprimand, giving a talking to, the evidence of things not seen. And Paul tells you and I to wait. Faith points at an event and argues us into belief.